Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Enigma. It is our first guest episode of 2022. So we finished number one in the United Kingdom for leadership last week at Christmas. That was fabulous. What is in store for us this year? I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. Now, we talk about all things leaders and leadership, leading self, leading others, leading our organizations, but it's time for us to be selfish. What do I mean by that? Because it's important that every single one of us has an opportunity to think about how we lead ourselves. This episode I've been looking forward to. It's going to be called Human Being, Doing and Becoming. And there was only one person I wanted for this particular episode, who I've been harassing for ages, and I'm so glad he's with me today. And that's the wonderful Anil Santhapuri, who's in India with CGI, but he'll tell you all about his background. Do not miss this first guest episode of 2022. Come back to me just after this.
During constant change, your leadership has never been more important to create a better and more inclusive world. You're listening to The Leadership Enigma, a podcast for the insatiably curious to explore the power of human-centered leadership to create real momentum for positive and sustainable change. Whether you're an entrepreneur, business owner, or corporate executive, each week we speak to global experts, academics, rising stars, ambitious upstarts, and disruptors as we discover that success leaves clues. Now, here's your host, Adam Pacifico.
Hey, it's a massive welcome to Anil on the Leadership Enigma. We have you at last. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me. I'm doing good. I'm really happy to be here.
It's good to see you. It really is. I know we've been navigating, haven't we? We've done some work together. We've been navigating the pandemic together and working virtually, but it is wonderful to have you on the show. It really is. Anil, there are so many things I want to say about the work you do now and the accolades that you've got, but you will do a better job. Just tell everyone at the moment, what's the role that you have right now?
Sure, thank you. So I work with CGI, which is a Canadian IT organization. I'm based out of India. I lead the learning function for Asia Pacific team. So it's a very exciting role because I get to contribute to driving the capabilities of the future for our employees. So it's been an exciting journey so far.
Now, I know you're a humble man, and I know there are so many awards that also go by your name. Chief Learning Officer Award, Brandon Hall Award, Young Entrepreneur Awards. Now, come on, the list goes on. So you must be doing something very right, Anil, to get all of these accolades. So what have you been doing that's led to that success?
Thank you. I think we'll talk about this more. I think it will appear later, but one of my core values is actually excellence.
Yep.
And it kind of shows up in every aspect of my life. So even at work too, I'd find, excellence is what I kind of pursue. So, and in one way, it translates to some of these recognitions. Yeah.
So Anil, what actually drew you to this field, learning and development, executive education, working with leaders, not only within your organization, but I know you touch many people across other organizations and other regions. What drew you to this arena?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's interesting you ask this question, because I'm actually a mechanical engineer by education.
Right.
And I spent first 6 years of my career working in IT, programming, being a software engineer. And I was living in Australia. So everything was fine. Everything was good. But I was not feeling fulfilled. I was feeling contented with what I was doing. There's always something missing. And when I kind of look back to all my, back then 6 years of my career and the work I was doing at my engineering, there was a common thread. The common thread was learning. I was either facilitating sessions, hosting group meetings, working on knowledge management. So I thought I should give it a try. And I was young and foolish, as they say. So switched over from being an SAP software programmer to learning and development consultant, and never looked back after that. Well, I found my passion in a way. Yeah.
Well, you found your passion, and as they say, the rest is history, Anil, as regards the efforts that you've made and certainly the contribution that you're making. So, as I say, I've chatted to you for many months now as we've had the pleasure, certainly I've had the pleasure of working with you, working together for CGI. Thank you for coming onto the show. And this show was always going to be, when you came on, about the human being, the human doing, and the human becoming. And we're going to come on to that. But we chatted earlier, didn't we? And I know you were telling me that you had a bit of a Jerry Maguire moment a number of years ago. And as soon as you said that, I said, you've got to tell the listeners this story. So tell us a little bit about this Jerry Maguire moment. And that leads neatly, I think, into the theme of this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. So once I made my career switch to HR and learning and development, for a long time, I was thinking about how to shape my career, what are my career goals. It was interesting. I found a mentor along the way. And I was thinking, really reflecting a lot about this. And one of those evenings or nights, I would say, I had a Jerry Maguire moment. So if you've seen the movie, like the actor in the movie, I woke up at 3 a.m. in the night. And I said, I've been thinking about all my goals in a wrong way. The goals cannot be goals. You should have being goals and doing goals. And what I meant by that insight was, you need to know who you want to be every moment of your life, which is being who you are. And being who you are, what you want to achieve, like the doing bit. And then with that flash of inspiration, I sat down, I wrote a 5-bullet siege of my being and doing goals. Yep. And then I wanted to, it's interesting. Then I said, if I really believe in what I wrote down, I can't keep it with myself. I need to share it with the whole world. So that night I went on to my LinkedIn and posted my being and doing goals. And that's how the journey started. So.
Now, I remember when you actually very kindly shared with me a PowerPoint, and it was the work that you had done on yourself in relation to really thrashing through your strengths, your being, your doing goals. And I remember you shared that with me, and I was inspired by it. So I just want to say that quite publicly. I was really inspired by that. And I've mentioned it to a number of people, which is why I've been haranguing you, Anil, for ages to come onto the show and talk about this, because I think it was a very powerful example of a leader taking time to really consider what it was that he or she wants to become, and the reasons behind that, both, as you say, the strengths and weaknesses. And I just want you to tell me a little bit about what prompted you to do that work, because there was a lot of work that went into that document, which I've seen, and I want the listeners to know. It's 7 or 8 slides, I think, of quite deep analysis and assessment. So what prompted that? Because that was a real commitment.
Yeah, again, it's an interesting story. So, I wanted to be authentic in what I'm doing. So, when I kind of sat down and wrote my leadership philosophy, the first few words were, I wanted to be a value-based leader.
Right.
And which meant I need to be very clear about what my values are. So that was my first attempt at doing a draft. But fast forward a couple of years, I was in a career transition. I was in an organization, I had a couple of other opportunities, and I went to my mentor. Now, my mentor has been a constant force of inspiration for me all through my career. So I was talking to my mentor saying, yeah, I have these two opportunities, organization A, organization B, and I think I'm more excited about organization A. And just like how all mentors are candid, he was like, I think you're not clear about what you're doing. Can you convince me that you're making the right choice? So I said, give me 24 hours. I'll come back to you with something. That's when I took my draft of 2 slides and overnight created into an 8 slider and presented it to him for a validation. But the process of documenting it, made things so clear for me. And now what I do is every year, around Christmas time, sit down and look at my document and revise it. Just this year, I did a little early in October, sat down and kind of did a revision. So I've been doing that for almost 8 years now.
Right. So I want people to understand that this is a document that actually is always work in progress for you, isn't it? Because you revisit it, don't you, every Christmas time. And what are you doing when you revisit the document, and maybe it's the second, third, fourth iteration of it? Help everyone understand, what are you doing when you revisit that work?
Sure. So, just before I answer that, I'll quickly talk about what goes into the document.
Yeah.
It has basically just 3 things. One is, what are my being insights? Who am I being? The list of things, and we can talk about that a little later.
Yeah, then, we'll split this up for everyone.
Yeah, sure. And then there's a section called, what am I doing insights? So, which is what I would like to do in the next couple of years in my career and social life. And then I have something, the third section is called, what are my career anchors. So if I have to make a career choice, if I'm back to decision, on what factors would I make those decisions? So it has the being goals, the doing goals, and the career anchors. And then over the last couple of years, I also added this B, P piece about becoming, because it's again very close to the work you do, right? You know, human-centered approach, we're all work in progress, as you rightly said. So becoming is whom we want to become, and it's a lifelong journey. So that's what the document considers. And then each year when I sit down, I actually go back to what I mentioned before, saying, am I being truly authentic to myself? Are my values still the same? Right. Are they changing? Are the priorities shifting? I really get my values. And then I have a couple of being goals, things like, you know, I want to be a lifelong learner. I want to be a storyteller. I want to be a servant leader. And I can sit down and validate if it's still true for me, still makes sense, you know, yep. Kind of relook at those. Then look at my doing goals, which are what I would like to do with my career in next 12 to 24 months. And what experiences would I need from a career and social perspective to kind of move forward with my career. So I go through that thinking process. I generally bounce it off with a couple of people also to get some feedbacks, especially, you know, my mentors, so on and so forth, and then kind of validate. And there's never a wrong version, because it's always a work in progress. So as long as I keep doing it, I'm happy about it.
So Anna, we're going to go through it, and we're going to break down for everyone the being, the doing, and the becoming, because what I hope is that listeners will spend some time thinking about those three categories for themselves. So we'll be clear what those are, and I know we'll have some hopefully ways that they can connect with you as well. But you also mentioned career anchors. Just help us understand career anchors first. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So the way I've done all this only for myself, and I've done a couple of workshops around this later too. But you know, when I talk about career anchors, what I do is you know, it's based off work done by Edgar Schein. Edgar Schein has this assessment called Career Anchors, which talks about their eight factors or dimensions, they're called, which people, you know, are attracted to in their career. My yes. top three being, if I give an example, my top three being independence and autonomy is a huge career anchor. So when I look at my entire career, I'm always attracted to the roles, the jobs I've done where I have autonomy and independence. And then entrepreneurial creativity is another. So kind of, I kind of leaned on those career anchors always and whenever I had to make a choice. And later, based on that, built my own what I call themes of career alignment. So I kind of built my own, but it's based on work done by Edgar Schein.
Yeah. Right, gotcha. Okay, so let's focus, because I know you just did an article on LinkedIn, so people can find this article. Because you did a great article that was 22 questions to reflect on as we begin 2022, and this was really focusing on the being, the doing, and the becoming. So let's just break those down for listeners if we can, so they have it in their mind, some clarity, and they can start to think about maybe these arenas themselves. So when we talk about being, and I'm having a look over my shoulder here at my laptop, Anil, being is who you are each moment, or rather who you want to be each moment. It's your inner essence, your core of existence. So tell us a little bit more about that, and give us example of some of the things that you have identified as your being that are top priorities for you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I think it's a great place to start. So, you know, when I was going through this entire motions in my own head about the whole being, doing bit, I came across some interesting research which you'll cite, but also some interesting insights I've found for myself. For example, maybe Adam, let me ask you, when you think of the word being, you know, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Just when you hear the word, when you talk about being and doing, which one of those words sounds more static? Which one of those words sounds more dynamic?
Maybe the doing sounds more dynamic, and the being maybe mm-hmm. sounds more static, but that's probably wrong, yeah. isn't it? But
I mean, that's how we all perceive, right? But yeah. when I, from a language perspective, linguistic perspective, actually, if you look at the word being, you break it down as being, ing, which is action. You know, doing also has ing. Yeah. So both of them are actually action. They're always happening. And that was a huge insight for me a couple of years back, saying, you know, because generally what happens is people look at their own core values saying, hey, you know, if you're lucky, you sit down early in your life and say, hey, these are my top three core values. These are my values. And we kind of don't go back to them. But as we evolve as persons, as full humans, our values also evolve. So that was my first insight to say who you are at this given point of time is being, but it's also evolving, because that's where becoming is also comes in, right? So generally it comes down to your core values.
Right.
And I kind of struggle this with, because we kind of, there's a lot of research around values anyway out there, but there's one institution which I would like to cite. It's called VIA character.org. It's called Values in Action. They actually have a free assessment to, they call it character strengths. Anybody can log in, put to their website and take their free assessment. So,
so values in action, I know, yeah. That, just so everyone.
Yeah, values in action.
Values yeah. in action. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I went and did my, assessment there, and I got my top three character strengths. That's what we call their equivalent to core values were
right.
appreciation of beauty and excellence. That was number one. Number two is perspective. Number three is creativity and originality. So I'll stay with those three. But what's very interesting, if I pick my first one, appreciation of beauty and excellence.
Yes.
You know, even I look at, we spoke about my work and excellence, right? You know, various recognitions. But you know, let's see how beauty translates into what I do every day. So every morning when I go for a walk, I carry my iPhone with me and I take pictures of, you know, the flowers, the clouds. I actually have over 10,000 pictures on my iPhone, which I've, wow. I've taken myself. So that's how it translates, right? Appreciation of beauty. And I'm a huge listener of music.
Okay.
You know, music is like meditation for me. So I kind of, you know, again, music. So the beauty side, music and being in nature translates, and at work, excellence and also inspiration. Whenever I see anything excellent, be a sportsman, be it a colleague or somebody in any industry doing something good, kind of inspires me. So your core values are what, impact your day-to-day decisions, what influence you on an everyday basis. Generally, it happens below surface. The more you are cognizant about it, the more you are aware, then you make better choices which are aligned. So it helps a lot with alignment. So that's like the being part.
Right.
Then doing is about, depending on the career we are in, you know, our interests, our strengths. Doing is what we pursue. In my case, it's human resources and talent.
Yep.
Talent development. So therefore, I kind of create some goals there. But it all starts with who you are as a person. And, you know,
yep.
sense of being.
So I'm going to come on to the doing. I'm just going to go backwards before I go forward. It's a phrase I use a lot. Because one of the things I've always, I think, recognized in you is you're acutely aware of things around you, Anil. In some ways, you're a sense maker, because he said you're picking up on things, in some ways grateful for things around you. You know, you identify when something or someone inspires you or sparks some imagination in you. And perhaps many of us let that whiz us by in the daily grind and fast pace of the day, but you actually notice these things. Did you have to work on that in order to be more present and in the moment?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that question, because I've been a mindfulness practitioner for almost a decade. So
right.
I've gone on this silent meditation retreats, which are like 10 day long.
Yes.
I've done 5 of them. So I think hopefully that kind of helped me along the way, you know, to stay kind of in the moment. But it's difficult. Even now it's difficult, because, you know, the whole idea is how to balance between being and doing, because you're always... What you want to do is out there in the future, but you have to be present in the moment to make the right choices. So it's been it's an act of balance, but I had to work on it for almost a decade.
Yeah. Okay. And I know we connected, didn't we, straight away many months ago when we were talking about human-centered leadership, something, you know, that I'm passionate about. And I'm always trying to explore to understand more around that. But let me come back to your doing. And as you say, doing is what you do, what you're doing now, and who you are. So tell us just a couple of things that you've landed on that are relevant to you right now for 2022 in relation to your human doing.
Yeah. So doing is always aligned to our passion, but also aligned to our strengths. That's very important. So
right.
once we figure out our values, it's important to know our strengths. And another tool which I heavily endorse is the Strengths Finder assessment from Gallup. I've used it for my own career, but I've actually coached many people over the last decade on using Strength Finder. So it's almost like the strengths are strengths, which are the Gallup strengths are actually more workplace focused, are like a bridge, between your being and what you want to do. Right. So,
right.
So I would always start from there, and that it really, you know, helped me that way. And then it's about what you do in your career. So 2-3 things which I picked, one thing which is, before I talk about what I'm doing for 2022 is,
yep.
I actually sat down a couple of years back and wrote down what is my leadership philosophy. So how would I want to be remembered for, you know, as a leader?
Okay.
And I came up with these, it's a small statement, so I'll read it up for you. And what you'll see is it has a sense of being and doing in it together, but it's kind of grounded.
Yep.
So my leadership philosophy, again, it's evolved over years. This is the current version. It says, to authentically connect with people,
right.
and inspire mutual personal excellence by embodying trust, wisdom, and influence. So you'll see, you know, the authenticity, influence, excellence, trust. I like the values, but also this should drive influence and trust. So kind of, you know, because the field we work is one side, but how you come across as a person, and typically they use the term executive presence or the leadership presence,
right,
is who we want to show up, right? So that's very important. So I first sat down and wrote my leadership philosophy. Now coming to my 2022, you know, finally the doing goals translate to I want to statements, you know,
right.
I want to dot, dot, dot. So the two things I wrote was I want to lead a talent function delivering world-class strategic differentiation to the organization. And, you know, and in a broader sense, I also want to, you know, publish from personal, professional and spiritual insights. So yep, one is more work focused, other is more broader. Yeah.
And come on to the leadership enigma, Anil. That's probably in there. That's one. You can take that off now. That's one of the doing things. So there's a real strong link, isn't there, between the human being and the human doing. And I think you spoke about almost our strengths in some ways being the bridge between the two. Did I get that right? Is that a fair summary?
Yes. And I'll try to give a visual metaphor.
Sure.
Because when I kind of teach, so during pandemic, I kind of taught a couple of, you know, sessions on life coaching, kind of help few people who kind of struggling.
Yep.
So it was based on being and doing. So, you know, the visual metaphor analogy I use is, let's say, you are a mountain climber, you want to climb a mountain, you know, you're an outdoor person, you want to climb a mountain, and you have the peak of the mountain when you want to go. And that's, you charted a path, you want to go there, like that's like the doing goals. But as you climb the mountain, the whole idea is also to clear your mind and then, you know, enjoy the journey, as they say. So think of these two visuals. One is somebody, you know, climbing up the mountain with a lot of action, kind of rappelling, pulling up the rope is one image. Other image is you kind of pick a nice spot on the mountain. You sat down and looking at the valleys and the mountains out there at the sunrise or the sunset. So the sense of being is actually enjoying every moment, being who you are, even taking the small breaks, even when you have a summit to, you know, surmount. Sure. But sense of doing is actually being very focused and climbing up, you know, having a pathway into the top of the peak. So they go hand in hand. They're like the two sides of the coin. I think where people start feeling stressed or misaligned is when these two are not actually aligned. When sense of being and doing are not aligned, that's where people start getting stressed.
Well, Anna, in some ways, it reminds me that we've got to enjoy the journey, not just the destination, haven't we, in relation to our being and doing. Let me move us on to the third category, because that, again, is in the article that you posted on LinkedIn, and that was human becoming. And again, I'm looking at my screen here. Becoming points to the path we are all embarking on to become better versions of ourselves. I love that phrase. This is where we clarify and work towards the impact we want to have, the legacy we want to create. It is a constant act of evolution. It's future focused and it has to be aligned to our being and our doing actions. Tell us a little bit about this category.
Yeah, and it, for me, to be honest, I started with being and doing and it took a while to get to becoming. But this is very close to the work you have been doing, Adam. The human-centered leadership has been a huge inspiration for me, and pandemic in a way has been a inspiration, because what the pandemic has taught us is we all have to be lifelong learners in certain areas of work and life. So be it growth mindset, be it sense of agility, be it resilience, emotional intelligence. So all those three, four things I mentioned, you know, growth mindset, emotional intelligence, resilience, learning from our failures, learning from our successes. You can't get it overnight. It's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong journey. It's like building those lifetime habits. The term I use it for it is, I use the term meta skills. So you can pick skills in a couple of weeks, a couple of months. Meta skills take a lifetime.
Right.
So therefore, you know, the term becoming better versions of ourselves, because there's no end to it.
Yes.
And then, you know, these are like larger than ourselves, right? It's like the legacy you want to leave behind, but it's always grounded in certain habits which take a lifetime to form.
Right. Well, I want you to know that this article, because I know you posted it at the start of this year, has had a big impact on me. I've already downloaded it. I've printed it out, and I'm going to carry this forward with me because, as I say, I think there's a huge alignment and there's food for thought for me in relation to human-centered leadership, as I hope to investigate that further in 2022. So I hope that the listeners are thinking to themselves, human being, human doing, human becoming. And really, you would advise, I assume, Anil, that people should take some time. Leaders need to take some time. Be selfish even to thinking about these areas for themselves, because some of them are leading large groups of people, large organizations. And if we navigate and come out of a global pandemic, we really want people to be a force for good, a world better led. So what tips have you got for anyone who might think, I want to do this, I want to do something that I've never done before? What top tips might you have for them to get this journey started for them?
Sure. I think before I share the tips, so it's important to, I think the, if somebody's still thinking, why do I still need to do this?
Yep.
I think the benefit is striking the balance. Let's say you're very anchored in your being. Even if things don't go well in what you're doing, you have something to fall back to. And you know, your being is intact, then you can have all you're doing. But if one of them is not so concrete, then, for example, if I'm just focusing on my career without being clear about, let's say I want to be a senior executive or something, without being clear of why I want it, you know, what are my values,
yep,
then if I don't get it, I might feel lost. I might feel, you know, stressed and then, you know, burnout and everything. But your core values, your sense of being is always you can fall back to. And the two terms we kind of briefly discussed this other day, Adam, is, I use the terms resource and resourcefulness.
Yes.
No, resources are finite, but you know, resourcefulness is infinite. A simple example, emotions, tapping into your emotions or tapping into patience, tapping into creativity, if they take three examples, are infinite. So they're like your values.
Yes.
And especially in a time like this, a pandemic where we all as collectively have been going through such a huge emotional turmoil, individually and societally. If we have the ability to tap into our resourcefulness, which is our values, it's very easy to feel grounded. And as leaders, now coming to answer your question, as leaders, it's important to be anchored into something so that you can actually ground yourself and then start leading others. So my tips would be, if I had to give like 3 to 4 tips, one, yes, is very practical, pragmatic. Go to the website Values in Action. It's a free, it takes 20 minutes, yep, take a free assessment. You'll get your top 5 core values. That's a good way to articulate. If you already articulated, you know, it's well and good. If you're struggling with that, take that assessment. Then I would say, sit down and write down your leadership philosophy. What's, yep, your leadership philosophy statement? And then bounce it off with a few people, your mentor, your family, your friends, and see if it's making sense. That's a good place to start. And then maybe go through those 22 questions if it helps. Yeah.
These
first 3 things.
This is great advice, which is why I love this podcast. I keep saying every episode is a complete privilege for me, and I hope really useful to listeners out there. So you talked about the 22 questions for 2022. Is the best place for people to find that on LinkedIn and attached to your profile? Is that the best place, Anil?
Yes. So it's posted as an article on my LinkedIn profile. I think it's posted on December 31st or Jan 1st. So if you can look me up, you'll find it there.
Fine. What I'll do is I'm going to put a link on the show notes for this episode as well. What is the best way to for people to contact you, Anil, if they want to continue the conversation and find out more? You tell us. Best way.
I think the best way is to reach out to me through LinkedIn. I'm always really happy and excited to support anyone on this journey. As I mentioned,
great,
during pandemic, I run series of workshops for people who just wanted to, you know, get connected and learn. In fact, this is where I can, you know, talk about how it aligns. So one of my doing goals,
yep,
is to actually reach out and contribute to building 10,000 leaders globally. So I'd be happy if anybody wants to reach out. You'll be helping me in my own doing.
Oh, well, there we go. I'm glad we can give something back in relation to that. So anyone listening now, please reach out to Anil on LinkedIn and take him up on that wonderful offer. Now, listeners may have just missed because you mentioned it briefly, but we've had this conversation before that you also are a mindfulness coach, but you take time out for meditation. And that is something that a lot of people maybe talk about, think about. We're hearing the term wellness leadership, well-being leadership. That's so important with an exhausted, maybe burnt out workforce who are still navigating the pandemic. Just briefly, what has that done for you, Anil, as you've engaged in the practice of meditation and mindfulness? What have you found has been the return or the result for you as a leader in a busy, hectic, and ever-changing world?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question, Adam. Thanks for asking. I think the answer is pretty simple, self-awareness.
Yep.
You know, I think most of the time I tend to be self-aware. And even if something goes wrong or if I do something which I'm not happy with, I kind of catch it soon and kind of reflect on it rather than, you know, they use these two words called, you know, are you either on an autopilot mode or on an awareness mode. So it's right. Good to be on awareness mode rather than being autopilot, because our natural habits, which are good, bad, and ugly, you know, help us run, you know, push us in the autopilot mode. So What meditation does is, mindfulness does, is to switch to being aware in the awareness mode, and then it leads to other things. So I think I've been more self-aware about myself to begin with, and that's been it's not been easy. As I mentioned, it's been a decade since I started doing this, and I'm still not a consistent meditation practitioner, but I tend to find my, you know, blocks of time throughout the day, a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. They actually have a term for it. They call it micro practices. So if you can't do something in a 30 to 40 minutes, even if you find a few minutes, you know, they call it the micro practice of mindfulness. So yeah, that helped me all the time.
Okay. Well, I think this subject is going to be one that is incredibly important to leaders. Now, you know my focus on human-centered leadership. I wrote an article with the wonderful Cheryl Stokes last year for Chief Learning Officer magazine, and it ended up being one of the top 10 read articles of the year. So this resonates. So I'm hoping that maybe you and I can put our heads together and maybe write an article around the elements of human-centered leadership and about human being, human doing, and human becoming. So maybe you and I can think about that later on in the year.
Definitely. I look forward to it.
That would be good fun, right? I've got my last question for you. And I always think it's an unfair question, but it's always a great question. With all of the work you've done, all the experiences that you've had, and all the mentorship that you give, what's the best piece of leadership advice that comes into your mind at the moment that you'd like to share with our listeners today? What's front of mind for you?
It's a great question. It's nothing original. I'm actually borrowing it from somebody famous. Satya Nadella from Microsoft said that, and it's the best way to articulate it. You know, he said, move from being a know-it-all person to learn-it-all person. And that's been my journey, shifting from knowing it all to learning it all. It's okay if you don't know, but, you know, you evolve along the way. That's been my journey, at least for last pandemic has had a huge influence in, you know, shifting from this paradigm of learning from my own experience to learning from others' experiences, and actually applying the meta skill of, you know, being a lifelong learner itself. So I would say shifting from being a know-it-all to learn-it-all.
I love that. It really resonates with me. And I think that's such a big aspect of a very, very positive and supportive culture as well. Learning it all as opposed to knowing it all, because we just don't know it all. And that's why I do this podcast, because I get to learn it all and I get to have this wonderful experience with you and all the guests on the Leadership Enigma. Anil, I hope you've enjoyed being a guest finally on the Leadership Enigma.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thank you for bearing with me. It took a while to come here, but I'm really happy it finally happened.
It was worth the wait, Anil. You know that. You've been an absolute superstar.
Join us again next week for more tips and strategies on the Leadership Enigma. We'd love to hear your comments on today's show, as well as suggestions for future topics and guests. Get in touch with your host on LinkedIn or our YouTube channel. And remember to get your daily learning to build success at www.insights.emeritus.org. Download the Insights app and start learning for free. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on all your major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.